Hey, Mario, Sonny, welcome.
Okay, we left off yesterday. We were trying to just find what the Mishnah was referring to. The Mishnah spoke about, in a very, very cryptic manner, that sometimes you can have a situation where multiple people are involved in a particular hezek, and it's, one of them is going to really held responsible. Even though I was a chshat in miktas niskel, I was really physically only responsible for part of it, I'm going to get nabbed, I'm going to have to pay for the entire thing. So the Gemara said that this was really referring to a sugya nuchas bor, a very, very complicated, intricate sugya nuchas bor. We spent a lot of time yesterday learning some of the numbers. We probably got a little confused with some of the numbers, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 20, 1 to 3. So a lot of guys, were, you know, myself included, were getting lost in the higher mathematics of yesterday. But at the end of the day, the principle was fairly simple, namely that sometimes there is such a case called chati mixes nisko, chati b'tashlimi nisko, b'chol nisko. So the Gemara then challenges and says, well, why is the only case that we could dig up? No, that was a good line on that one. The only case we could dig up. I just love that. That's a good one. There's a Shebech again. I don't know. You dig a bore for those people who didn't catch the point, okay? Those were still sleeping from the long, long weekend, including yesterday. It somehow got. It was a Hava meeting. Well, the Hava meeting, you should read the Megillah on the 17th also, so some people took the Hava meeting very seriously. Okay. And some are even more machmir because Yerushalmi says the chodesh is an epoch. They don't want to come to Shia even any time during chodesh Adar. Gzeira Adu Purim. Okay, and then the Adar Marvin Besimcha that goes into Pesach also. So they don't want to. So we'll see everybody after Lag BaOmer. Okay, so comes the Gemara and challenges, why is this the only case we can come up with? And of all cases of Mixas Nisko, the best we can come up with is Bor. There are other cases as well, and the Gemara throws out this next potential case, and that's really what starts the ball rolling for Asugi today. The Gemara talks about the possibility of five people being asked to watch an animal, and one of the people doesn't show up to watch the animal, the other four show up on time, and the fifth one is still sleeping. He doesn't show up, and then the animal goes out and damages. And the question is, to what extent is the fifth person held responsible? Is he held responsible for the entire nezik that happened? So the Gemara just goes through a very, very simple list of possibilities. What exactly happened? What would have happened if he would have showed up? So the Gemara says that if the four people could have easily watched it without him being there, so what do you want from the guy? So he didn't show up. He's not showing up, didn't do anything. So Rashi learned on Yudav Beis that he paid nothing. Mamish did nothing. If his not participation was critical, that was what made or break the damage. And the animal could have easily been controlled if he would have been there. He didn't show up. I need a Mishnah to tell me that he's the Peshaya. He is the lone Peshaya. So of course he has to pay. So therefore the Gemara didn't feel that this was a qualified case because the two dinim are so obvious. Either case is obvious and neither of them is really a proper illustration of the Chiddush of the Mishnah of Ichshati b'miktas nisko. Either I'm totally off the hook or I'm so on the hook that it's so obvious that I need a Mishnah to tell it to me. So with this Shakavatai of the Gemara that we began to discuss the very, very end of Shia yesterday, it was this assumption of the Gemara that five people are called upon, they volunteer, they accepted upon themselves to watch an animal, and four of them did the job, and the other one never showed up. And the Gemara says, well, if his lack of showing up didn't contribute to the damage, then he's off scot-free. And we raised the question yesterday, wait a second, hold the phone, why is he off scot-free? What happened to that? What is that all about? So in order to understand, to appreciate what's munach in this line of the Gemara and what's munach in that question and the issue that the poskim discussed revolving around this Gemara, we have to take a few steps back, familiarize ourselves with a very, very important principle, Dini Mamonis, and then once we understand the parameters of that principle, then plug it back in the Gemara and try to understand the amkos, the depth that the poskim saw or didn't see in this particular line of the Gemara. So let's backtrack for a minute, get a little bit of introduction to a concept, an important concept of Dini Mamonis. In case we haven't figured out until now, there are multiple ways for a person to end up having to be chayav to pay for something. Chiyuv m'dinim mamonos. Many of chiyuv m'dinim mamonos emanate not necessarily from my acceptance, but rather the halacha superimposes a chiyuv upon me. Let's say l'mashal, if my animal damages, so I didn't accept to pay you the damage. I dig a bore. I don't get up and I dig a bore and I say, Hidni Mukhar, Hirani Makabalai, Lashali, Bada Bore. or if I burn down your house, I'm not mekabel upon myself to pay. My action results in the following consequences. That's what's called his chayvas haTorah. So there was no kabbalah midas, there was no voluntary obligation, but the Torah superimposes a chiyuv upon me. Now we've learned a lot about these types of chiyuvim. Even within those types of chiyuvim that a Torah imposed, there are at least three different categories, at least three subcategories of Torah imposed chiyuv. What are they quickly? Sometimes they are knas, sometimes they are mamon, sometimes they are kapara. And there are obviously differences between them, but they're all, the common denominator between all three are, they are Torah-imposed chiyuvim, not personal obligations. Then you have other kinds of obligations, which are hischaivus midahas, which are personally accepted. What are some good examples of personal obligations? Give me some good examples of personal obligations. Mamanus, what do you mean about Kavanah? Mizikin. We can't think of any personal obligation. I did something that by my doing action A, I'm accountable upon myself to pay you X amount of money. Nothing. Not one comes to mind. Good, buying something. Great. So I go to the store and I buy a bag of, what do I always go to the store to buy a bag of? Havada, right? Why do I always give that example? Because that's the only thing my wife trusts me to buy is potatoes. That's one reason. The other reason is, how does the Yiddish song go? Was on the thing. Nobody heard that song. And Shabbos, Bulbis Kogel. Okay? In Eastern Europe, he's always close. In Eastern Europe, they had no food. All right? That's why, if you think about it, any and every Ashkenazi dish is involved with one thing. Potatoes, right? There's potatoes in the kugel and there's potatoes in the cholent. And they use potatoes for karpos and if they potato latkes and if they could have made potato hamantasha or potato hamantasha. It's the only thing that ever grew in Eastern Europe because why do potatoes grow in Eastern Europe? Because it's underground and it only has to be like warm for about 10 minutes, which is about as warm as it was in Poland. So nothing else could possibly grow, with the other exception of maybe carrots and beets. So those are the only things that Ashkenazim ever ate. So that's why everything revolves around potatoes. So when you go to the store and you buy a bag of potatoes, so the following halachic mechanism is happening. I am going into, give me a good store, give me a store. I'm going to, where buy my potatoes? Give me a Jewish store, simple.
Evergreen.
Okay, I go to Evergreen and I walk into the store, I pick up the potatoes, and by picking up the potatoes, I'm cleaning them, and by doing so, I am a kabel me'atzmi to pay the $2, whatever it is, for the bag of potatoes, okay? Now, apidinimoris, I'm chayav to pay that $2. There's no difference in my level of chi of whether I was mazik your potatoes, or whether when I stole your potatoes, or whether I bought your potatoes, I'm chayav to pay the value of the potatoes. The only thing is, it's a different type of an obligation. It's not ischayavus haTorah, it's ischayavus midas. Okay, good. So Mechel Memker is clearly an example of ischayavus midas. And we'll give you another one. Ma'avaloiva. I borrow $100,000 from you. So built it. Again, I don't have to formally have a statement on the Kabbalah, but understood when I said, can I borrow $100? It's built into those words, can I borrow $100? I'm going to pay you back the $100. That's also a chayvus midas. And the din is, I'm mechayv to pay you back. Why? Not because the Torah was mechayv me to pay you back, because I was mechayv myself to pay you back. Okay? Any others? No others? Shomer, maybe another one. Okay, Shomer, maybe another example, possibly. Tyson gets tricky about that one, okay? So, we have this parsha in the Torah called Evis Chayvus Midas. What's the common denominator most of the time? I take the two that we gave. The case of the Mechel Memker, the case of the Havah. What's the common denominator between the two of them? They're very different. One's the guy buying potatoes, one's the guy's borrowing money. But what's the common denominator? That what did I want? I'm the mechayev myself for something, but I got something in return. It's either I got the potatoes, or I'm mechayev myself to pay the $2 instead of the potatoes, tashlumin of the hanor of the potatoes that I got, or I got $100 of yours, I'm using $100, and I'm mechayev myself to pay you for that $100, or I to give you back another $100. So all the chiyuvei haTorah of ischayevus midas pretty much revolve around the notion that I'm paying you for something that you ultimately gave me. You gave me your potatoes. You gave me $100. So I have to give you a tashlumin under half of that. comes the Gemara at the very, very end of Baba Basra. I'm sure it's almost the very, 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 very end of Masechet Baba Basra. And the Mishnah quotes the following din. I borrowed $100 from you, and you're not so sure that I'm going to pay back the $100. I don't have such a great credit rating, right? I haven't paid my credit card bills on time. So you're a little bit weary about me paying you back $100. So you ask for a cosigner. You ask for, what do we call him? For an Arif. So I bring in my friend Reuven. Reuven's a little better than me. So Reuven says, no problem. If Sobolovsky doesn't pay, I'm going to pay back the $100. Don't worry about it. I'll be the Arif. And lo and behold, I don't pay back the loan. So what's the deal? So the mission says, the Beirush. He has every right to go after the Arif and take the Arif to a Dentaira, and the Arif has to pay. So that's a very, very startling concept. Why is that startling? What kind of hischaivus is that that the Arif has? It's not hischaivus haTorah. What is it? It's hischaivus bidas. The Arif is the kabbal upon himself to pay. But what's lacking? What's missing in the parish of Arif? He didn't get anything. He mamish got nothing. All he did is he gave his word. He said, yeah, I'm going to pay, no problem. But he got mamish nothing. So that's a bizarre concept. That's a very, very strange concept. But the Mishnah says that it works. And we know there are sugyas in halacha about Arif. So the Gemara raises the question at that very end of Baba Basra. The Gemara asks, Menani Mili, where does that concept come from? Where does the parsha come from? What kind of halacha is this? Whatever, it doesn't seem to fit into the regular model of Dini Mamun for this Chayvus Midasis. So the Gemara starts searching, scrounging around for a posuk to tell me Menani Mili that an Arif is Nischayv. Anyone remember the sugya in Baba Basra? Who learned without the sex Kedushin? Who remembers? We spoke about this Dav Zayin and Kedushin a lot. The Gemara Baba Basra calls a pasuk a very, very strange mocher. You know what the mocher is? A pasuk in Parashas Miketz. Parashas Miketz. All about Kairis, Yehuda, Anoichi, what? Evenu, Miyad Sefer Shana. The Gemara says, oh, Yehuda was an Arev. He was mekabel upon himself to pay back Yaakov Avinu, whatever in the world that means. He was mekabel upon his arvus on behalf of Binyamin. And from here we derive a din l'deiris, he can become an Arev. So the Gemara has a lot of problems with that drash. The Gemara says, nah, it's not really true. That wasn't an Arif. The Gemara rejects that pasuk. So then the Gemara goes searching for more pasukim. So the Gemara ran out of pasukim in Chumash. What's next if you can't find a pasuk in Chumash? Look at Nach. Okay? So the Gemara couldn't search through all of Nevi'im, couldn't find the pasuk. Finally, the Gemara starts searching through Ksuvim. And the Gemara dug up a pasuk in Mishlei, of all places. Anyone know the pasuk in Mishlei? Anyone knows any pasuk in Mishlei? Besides Eshes Chayil. Anyone, any pasuk in Mishlei? Okay. What? Evidently close. Maybe that's it. I don't remember. But that's not the part. Imaraftol the Reacha, something around the whole puzzle, like five psukim in Mishlei, that say if you became an Arev, you better pay back and don't become an Arev. And if you are an Arev, you better pay. A whole chagadj about being an Arev. Shlomo Melech gives us this long advice about not to be an Arev. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Okay? So don't be an. I don't know what I'm talking about, right? No. Kias, come on. Who said that? Neither a bar nor a lender be. Yeah, I didn't say where it is. Who said it? Where's the kids, guys? Come on. Polonius. Polonius. Okay? So if I say, Im Hamlet, William Shakespeare, for those who have never heard of him. Okay. So, Imeravta l'reach, a whole series of psukim in Parshas Mishlei, in Sefer Mishlei, that speak about the halachas that are referencing the halachas of Arev. Says the Gemara, you see that the halacha, you see Shlomo Melech is referring to Arev. Now this is always a striking kind of a drasha, because whenever you bring a bracha from Nach for a din deraisa, the psukim of din deraisa, we get very, very weary. So what do we have to say, like we said 100 times before, like Chazal say? It must be the Chazal that tradition, if this is true, it's a halacha Moshem Zin, it's a smach that's being referenced in the Nevi'im Ksuvim, but it must be some pre-existing Torah tradition. Like Moshe Lamad Davidoma, the Gemara says in Kedushin, Chavad that the Mokha Pekin Shtar of Karakas, Lord Tafim Sukhim in Yirmiyahu, or let's say the Gemara has Megillus Rus, the Psukhim of Chalipin, the Dinim of Chalipin. So we have a lot of concepts of Dinim Mamunis that we find that are being practiced in the Nevi'im Ksuvim. They weren't into the, not that in the days of Shlomo Melech, all of a sudden they decided to institute the Parish of Arev. Shlomo Melech instituted a lot of things. Yedayim, Eiravin, he started, but not Arev, same letters, but nothing to do with each other. He instituted a lot of Dinim Derabbanan, but this is probably not one of them. This is probably just a Din Deraisa that he's just making reference to. Like the Havel Elf Avdolos, if you would write a storybook So you would refer to certain pre-existing concepts in the book. Doesn't mean that you made up those concepts. You're just referencing in the course of your description things that already existed. So l'chad of those, when Shlomo HaMelech is writing Sefer Mishlei, he's referencing a concept. Everybody was aware. If he's talking a language of Arev, that means the word on the street was, there is such a concept of Arev. It must have been some kind of Torah accepted principle way, way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Gemara says in Baba Basra. There's a bit of Arev. So the Gemara stops, and the Gemara says, no, it's not true. The Gemara says that we have a big, big problem with the Parsha of Arev. What's the problem with Arev? Anyone remember? There's a huge problem with the Parsha of Arev. You know what the problem is? It flies in the face of another Torah principle. And the other Torah principle is, Asmach Belo Kanya. And remember this, back from Kedushin Day, back from Sanhedrin Day, Asmach Belo Kanya, that if I enter into an agreement with you, I can be mechayev myself in something, but if I never really thought that I would get into this chiyuv, then what I said was really null and void. It means that I can open up my mouth, open my big mouth, and say, oh yeah, I'm going to give you $100, no problem. But in the back of my mind, I never really thought that was going to happen. Because I thought that the cards were in my favor, not in your favor. We'll see in a moment. And that's not his chayvus altogether. That's called the smach nelokanya. That's, of course, the famous sugya of the Torah. It's not about betting, all kind of gambling, all kind of stuff, runs with the potential issue of a smachta. Because when I play a game with you, I'm playing dice, I'm playing poker with you, so I feel I'm going to win. When I'm betting on the Super Bowl, so I think I'm going to win. So I would never bet if I thought I was going to lose. So I did all my research. I'm assuming that my team is going to win. So now it turns out at Glenn Mills that my team loses, so I never really wanted to give you the money. So that's an issue of asmachta lo kindness. That's a complicated story of the third Berachah Sanhedrin. Is sports betting really asmachta? Not asmachta, yeah, nothing else. It's also anyway, but whether it's asmachta or not is a different thing. So back to that story. So comes the Gemara in the Ezebel Basra and says, every case of Arev is automatically a deficiency of what? But asmachta, why is it an asmachta? Why is every Arev an asmachta? Because what Meshuggah would ever sign as a co-signer if you really thought the guy wasn't going to pay? You're really signing as a co-signer because you think the guy will pay. It's just that you want to be a nice guy. The other guy doesn't trust him. So you want your friend to get a loan. So you're going to put your name on the dotted line. Not because you really think you're going to have to pay. Why? Like, make a face. Why would I pay $100 for you or a debt? If I wanted to be a nice guy, I'd give you $100 to tzedakah. Why am I letting you borrow money? So I'm putting my name on the bottom because the stomach, I don't really think it's ever going to happen. So what's this gewalt geschwingen? It's a smachta, a smachta, a kanya. Doesn't matter if I, that's because I put my name on it. Doesn't matter, but it was a shtar without das. It means if a smachta, a kanya means that that's chisar and das. It means I never really, chazal sized up and said, you never really meant what you wrote. You only meant to put your name on because you really honestly thought you wouldn't have to pay. So that's the problem, smach to lokanyo. So how do you solve that problem? So comes the one and says, no, I'll tell you the answer to the problem. No one remembers back to condition days. What's the final answer of the Gemara? So again, we're trying so hard to understand this principle of Arev. We're learning Bava Kamed of Yud, and we're trying to understand whether Arev makes sense. Yeah, we can't even begin to tackle this problem until we know what Arev is. So the Gemara thought that Arev was based on Pesukim and Mikkei. The Gemara says, no, that's not true. Thought it was based on Pesukim and Mishlei. The Gemara says, that's a problem. The Gemara says, nope, here's the answer. The answer is the Arev walks away feeling really good about himself. It's a good taiva, it's a good sense and self, you know, confidence. Why? Why is he like walking around, you know, feeling all happy about himself? The Arev, before he has to pay up. Why is he all happy about himself? Because what was just shown to him? He's trustworthy, how financially responsible he is. He's a real guy, he's a real gavra. Not every Tom to get out, he has to serve as a co-signer for a $50,000 debt. So that was a gewaltige hanoah. And he's telling everyone, he comes to Shtibel the next morning, he makes a kid, he says, you know who I am, ich bin, you know, I'm Mr. Arev, I'm the best guy in the world. And then somebody, like, you know, snubs him and doesn't give him shlishi or something. He walks around telling everybody, the Jose Nenu Shoveli, as Holman said. I say, Maisa Shoya. Mamish Maisa Shoya. I got to tell this to you. Only because I said that pasuk, I say this. You won't believe this. About 3 weeks ago, my wife had a fly somewhere, so I took her to the airport. And they were checking in the luggage outside. So there was the fellow was checking in. Was not Jewish in any stretch of imagination. He wasn't Jewish. And he was checking in her luggage, and he saw, I guess, I was wearing a yarmulke. So he says to me, let me tell you my favorite verse from the Bible. I didn't ask him for his verse in the Bible. I asked him just to please check on the right level. I won't show miss the flight. So I got to tell him my favorite verse in the Bible. I said, what? So I was, there's a 50-50 chance he was going to quote a Bible I was comfortable with. But okay, but Baruch Hashem, he got the right one, right? And he says to me, this is it, from the book of Esther. I don't think he had any clue that Purim was around the corner. He says, and he said to me, like in perfect King James English, remember, right out of the Bible, says to me, and none of this is worth anything to me, for every time that I seeth the Mordechai the Jew sitting by the gates of the king, you know, the Chosei Nenu Shavel, and he says to me, and I just love that verse, he says, Haman just said it like it was. He said he was so arrogant, it doesn't matter what happened, Haman just told it. He couldn't stand that Jew Mordecai. That's what he said, couldn't stand that Jew Mordecai. And I said to him, I have just one question to ask you. I said, how do you know that verse? So he said, I read the Bible all the time, and that is just my favorite one. So this year, when I lay in the Megillah in the shul, it was very hard for me not to start to laugh. The Olam was wondering what was so funny about the Chosei Nenu Shavel. Okay, anyway. So, very, very strange. So here you got this guy, he thinks he's the top of the world. Everyone's honoring him. He's become the Ori for multi-millionaires. And he's not getting shlishi from the Gabbai. He's getting snub, but he still thinks great about himself. So the Gemara says, Bahai Hanor, that Hanor that he's getting, that people think he's trustworthy, he's willing to be Meshabbat himself. And that's where the finally the Gemara ends and the next thing about the Master starts. That's where the Hadron starts almost a lot later. So what just happened in the Gemara? The Gemara is looking for a source for Arev. The Gemara says, I got a Pasuk. Anochi Arevenu. Nah, bad Pasuk. Okay, no, try number two. Pasuk and Mishlei. Nah, Asmach Lokanya. The Gemara says, oh, Bahai Anod the Kavarim. What does that third stage mean? What does it mean? So there's a major machlokes in the Rishonim. What is the significance of that last line in the Gemara? So there are some Rishonim who say that what the Gemara just did was a complete, total turnaround. And the Gemara realized, had the magic word Ella, according to some Rishonim, the Ritva holds this way, what the Gemara just realized was there is no posuk for Arev. Neither the posuk from Pashas Miketz, nor the Pesukim from Sefer Mishnah, there is no posuk. You know why there's no posuk? Because quite frankly, you don't need a pasuk. You want to know why is the person Meshabbat, how do the mechanics work? Doesn't the Hischaibus Midas require something in return? What's the answer? Absolutely, he got something in return. Why do you think that something in return has to be what? Has to be tangible. What's wrong with something that's intangible? What's wrong with Hana? Those who remember from the Masechet Kedushin, Hana is what? Hana is Kikesef. I give you a Gevaldik Hana. So that's like I gave you something. So by you being mahan in me, by you malva making me feel so proud of myself, so good about myself, I can go home on an ego trip and tell my wife that the guy in shul thinks that I'm worth $1 million because he trusted me with all that money. So wow, that's a gevaldika hanor that you gave me, and that is no worse than a bag of potatoes. And just as the bag of potatoes I'm willing to be mishabbat myself for, I'm willing to be mishabbat myself on behalf of that Hanor as well. And therefore, Arev doesn't need a pasuk. It's not based on Pesukim in Mishlei, not based on Pesukim in Miketz. It's plain and simple. It's Chavazaz. I'm giving something because I got something in return. Somebody asked me last week, Shaila. I never thought of the Shaila before. They wanted to know, can you be Yotzi Matanas of Yonim to Hanor? Can I be Mahana the Oni with something? I didn't give him a penny. I didn't give him any money, but I was mahana him with something. Is that good enough for Matanas Levyonim? Because in Kedusha, that's good. You give him a Kaddish and Isha with Hanoch and Kesef. So is that called Kesef or not? I don't know the answer to that question. Mishloach Manos, it's not because you have to be able to eat it, so you can't eat Hanoch. But Matanas Levyonim, nobody left to be able to eat. It has to be something that's a Lachli Kesef. So now the question is, but it's a Lachli Kesef, but is it transferable into something else? Like, can I use that Hanor to buy something? If I can figure out an Asa how to transfer that Hanor to the store and buy, and the other can now buy his sperm suit with that. I don't know. So I was thinking about that. Interesting shayla, but not for now. So basically, get back to that story. That's how some Rishonim learned the Gemara. Other Rishonim say, no, that's not what the Gemara meant. What's the other option of the Gemara? Who remembers back when Kedushin days? When the Gemara said that the high Hanor, what was the Gemara doing? The Gemara was just solving what? The issue, the technical issue of a smachta. Of course you need a pasuk for Arev. Of course Arev didn't happen on its own. Avav, you need a real bona fide makor in Chumash and Nach somewhere, some Alacha Mashina somewhere, some source for Arev. But the Gemara got into a pickle that with all the sources put together, it still violates the principle of Asmachta. So that's what the Gemara said. What is the chisson of Asmachta? It's a chisson in what? What magic word? Chisson in Das. Every Asmachta is said, I never would have bet on the team if I didn't think it was going to win. I never would have signed as a co-signer if I didn't think that you would have paid. So there's always a chisson in Das. But to offset that chisson of Das, if I have something to gain, I have some quote-unquote tangible, some intangible hana. I have something that's worth something to me, so I'm willing to have that magic words of Gemara's Das, even though normally we would have thought I'm not going to be daiti. It's kedai for me. It's worth it for me to be going to be daiti because I have something to gain from being going to be Das. What I have to gain is what? Is that great and beautiful, wonderful, bona fide hana. Moshul about the Vedomis, some of you may remember from Masechet Sanhedrin, that's Rabbi Natam sheet about gambling. Rabbi Natam says that maybe gambling is not a smachta. Maybe, again, we're not discussing the details now. You know why gambling is not a smachta? Because you have something to gain by gambling. What do you have to gain? You may win. So says Rabbi Natam, you may win, you may lose. So you're willing to take the risk of losing because you may gain. Rabbi Natan says, Asmachta lokanya is only when you have nothing to win. But if you have something to win, so maybe that's not called the Asmachta because you have Gemiras Das because of the Hanor Shibo. So the bottom line is, half the Rishonim learn, half literally, but some of the Rishonim learn that the Gemara's conclusion is that Arev works independently because it's just plain old Hanochi Kesef. So it's no different than buying potatoes or borrowing money. Another Rishonim learned, no, Arev is different. Arev is a Gzeirus HaKasef. Arev is a Chiddush HaTorah, a Chiddush HaPesukim, whatever it is. And you need that hanor just to offset any asmachta. But when all the dust settles, everybody agrees that the parish of Arv, there's a din of Arv, it's a binding concept in a Torah for whatever reason, whatever the logistics, the mechanics are. And the basic understanding of Arv is that by merely signing on to something, even though you weren't really neheneh, you could still be chayev. Just the mere fact that you accepted upon yourself, that could create his chayvus. Even if it's not commensurate with your being nana from that item itself. That's the underlying principle in the Arv. The Chad is just depending on the lumdus, but it's all the same principle. So now, let's take that whole sugi of Arv and I'll plug it into Bava Kamad of Yerim. Five guys join together to use the shore. So five guys are watching the shore. Either the Sholem or the Shomrim, whatever the case may be. So if you think about it, if I'm one of those five people, how much of the shore am I really getting? How much am I really, in a sense, being mishabed myself for? Really only what? How much? 20%, for a fifth. I have really no shaykhus to the rest of the shore. The other four guys are involved in that. I really only have shaykhus to one-fifth of that shore. But Ella what? One could conceivably be mechayev me for the entire shore. I am not benefiting from that shore. I'm not misyachis to that shore. Well, the rest of the shore should be the lach equivalent of what? Of somebody else's what? Somebody else's loan. Somebody else's chayv. So the same way that you can have a passion in the Torah of an arev, right? Let's say Reuven becomes an arev. Reuven is not the arev. Bishvil, Halvas, Shimon. Even though Reuven is no shaykhus to the money that's coming from Shimon, but Arev, by the Psukim, Tzmaras, Drash, whatever it is, Parshas Arev kicks in. So maybe one can argue that Reuven Shomer number one becomes an Arev Bishvil Shomrim 2, 3, 4, and 5. Maybe it's not such a crazy model. So it's not such a crazy equation. So just as I become an Arev on behalf of your loan, even though I have no shachas to that loan, that's okay. I can become an Arev on behalf of whatever his chayvus and whatever chiyuvim you had, I can become an Arev for that as well. Of course, that only hinges on one piece of information. What's going to make or break this equation? What? No, he doesn't really need hanor. Right? I mean, he gets the hanor is that he's happy that he's being trusted, so to speak, with the shor also. So what's going to make or break this equation? Very, very simple. Very straightforward. Yeah, well, did he want to do that in the first place or not? When it comes to an arev for a halvah, we know that Reuben wants to do this because he signed his name on the line that says co-signer. So that's pretty clear indication of das. When I go and five guys come to get an animal together, is that necessarily true? Is that really what's happening? That I'm mechay myself on your behalf, let's say the marshal, you have two guys rent a car together, right? So that's, I guess, the closest model we could have. Two, have multiple drivers put their name on the bottom of their car lease. So that means that I'm mechay myself to my percentage, or I'm mechay myself to the entire percentage of the car. What would the din be? I can imagine what it would be. Two guys rent the car, and then one guy skips down, and the car gets smashed up. Hertz is going to go after what? He's going to go after the other guy. I don't think there's any shyly to go after the other guy. All right? They're not going to go after the other guy 50%. They're going to go 100% after the other guy. So the question is, it probably says that in the small print there somewhere. So I want to know, but here there's no small print. There's probably not even a shtar. Who writes up shtaros to borrow animals? It's all a question of what? Umdana. Is there an umdana? Is there an understanding? Is this the dakra shalolam? Those are the things that we usually use to try to figure out. Do most people do this? Is this standard business practice? Do we assume this to be the case or not? The answer to that question is, I have no idea. I have no clue. I understand the halachic mechanism, but I don't really understand, I don't really know for a fact whether that das is the end, that everything's hinging upon that das being there. So I have no idea what the answer to that question is. I'm sitting in Poland in the 1500s, the Ramah sitting in Krakow, and he's thinking and thinking and thinking, what do I think that the umdunda of das is? What do I think Chazal sized this up? What do you think Chazal assume? Do people have this kind of das or not? So the Ramah is searching to all shas to figure out the answer to this question, and he dug up a gemara of a comment of Yoram and Hanf. And what did the Ramah say? Oh, Zemin from Agamara. What do you see from Agamara, Baishai? What did the gemara say? That if the fifth guy didn't show up and is not showing up, didn't really do anything, what do we say? So Michael Ovid, he didn't do anything, he's potter. Frekter Amar, what do you mean he's potter? He should be chayav al tzvat, al tzarev. Says the Amar, Zetman Funda, that the stam das b'nei odom, when you have five people borrowing an animal together, is that I'm not necessarily an arev. I'm not admiring myself for you. I'm taking on my own chiyuv, nothing to do with you. Nishkin arev. That's the Ramah's word. Ramah Tshuva writes that this question, this equation, is every case of Reuven, five shomrim, is everybody an arev or not? So the Ramah weighs in and says, no, it's not true. And his raya was from this line to go by the Fyodor Beis. Now, who here read the Fyodor Beis in Babakam? Who ever learned this again? Right? Yoram and Alfil. Who read this Gemara? And I ask you a question. When you read this Gemara, was this the first thing that came to mind? You thought about the Shiloh also. Gee, what would the din be? When a guy becomes an Arav, you chaz it all above a Basra, and you're trying to figure out what Arav's plug in here, and you brought a Rav. That's how the Ramah read the Gemara. That's what the Ramah did all day. He read Gemaras, and he was Medayak Dinim from Gemaras, and he says, you see from the Gemaras, Klar, what's the Shiloh? But the Ramah was not the last one to read this Gemara. Somebody else read this Gemara. Who was that somebody else? Even before the Ketos. Shach. Everyone saw the Ketos called the Shach? The Shach read the same Gemara also. Okay, the Ramah sitting in Krakow, where the Shach live? It was in Vilna, right? I think it was in Vilna. At some point it was in Vilna. The Shach lived in a very, very trying time in Jewish history. Anyone know when? The Shach survived what? The Chmelnytsky massacres in 1648, where hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. So the Shach survived. He ran away in exile. This is a whole crazy story. The Shach died very, very young. He died in his 40s. So the Ramah also died in his 40s. So the Shach has a mechilas covered the Heilige Ramah. It's not true. There's no deal from the Gemara. Maybe the Ramah's right. Maybe he is, maybe he's not, but this Gemara is irrelevant. Why is this Gemara irrelevant? Anyone know why? Well, comes to Shach and says, this Gemara, the goal of the Fyudam and Aleph is not to paskin whether Chayev a potter. What's the goal? What's the discussion of the Fyudam and Aleph revolving around? How do we start the sugya? We try to learn Taich in what statement? In the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Shech Shaiti Miktas Nisko, That's the goal of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's goal is to tell me what we call otherwise faulty math. 50% equals 100%. When you did 50% of the damage, we're going to nail you for 100% of the damage. That's the theme of the Mishnah. So the Gemara is searching for a possible alternate case. The case of the Borg and everybody mixed up. Nobody knew what I was talking about yesterday, myself included. Everyone got a little lost with the numbers. Guys are still scratching their head about 8, 9, 9, 10, 10, 20. So forget about that. So the Gemara says, okay, forget about the case of the Borg. Let's give a case of the Shor. And the Gemara says, nope, there's no case of the Shor. Why? Because of the Marashach. If the guy's not showing up, caused the whole damage, so he's the Mazik, the Legamre. If the guy's showing up, Lamal of Lamayrid, so he's off scot-free. What did the Gemara mean when it says he's off scot-free? What did the Gemara mean, says the Shach? He's off scot-free, really, truly, he pays nothing? What did the Gemara mean? What is he not? He's not Chayv of Mazik. That's not the Mishnah. The Gemara was not having a din Torah whether he's chayav or not. The Gemara was just discussing, is he the subject of the Mishnah? Says the Shach, guess what? When we say he's off scot-free, it's not true. Of course he has to pay. He has to pay out what? Out Torev. What does he not have to pay out? Out Mazik. Now that's a silly question in the Gemara, says the Shach. If at the end of the day he's got to pay, what do I care whether he's called an Arva or he's called a Mazik? Bishlam, according to the Ramah, that he's not an Arva because there's no Arvas here. There's no the Muchach that any five Shomim or Makabal Taurus Arvas. So according to the Ramah, the Gemara reads like a charm. If he's part of his part, there's not a Mazik, he's not going to have to pay. But according to the Shach, who says, yeah, he is an Arva. That the Ramah's inequality was not true. That really the emesis of the Shach is very, very possible that there is Arvas. I show him that the the Muchach, the Dasa, all the Gris Dasa, there is Arvas, and Itaka would have to pay out Arvas, and the Gemara is just shepherding with that Chayavot Mazik. What's the difference? Thousand cents. Who cares? According to Shach, who cares if he's paying out Arvas, paying out Mazik? What's the answer? Everybody say? It's a huge difference. What's the huge difference? It's an unbelievable difference. Give me a kick, give me practical thousand cents. I'm a coward by myself to be an RFU alone. Regular Arvus, the old Mishnah, the end of a master. I'm a coward to be an RFU alone. When do I have to pay? Only if what? Only if you skip town. Or if you ran out of funds. But if you are there, the Beis Din can't come after the RA. You can't go after the cosigner. You go after the first guy first. The Beis Din can't go after the cosigner. The other guy has the money to shell out and he's right in front of us. But if Amdino Kemazik Lagamre, who does Beis Din come after? Come after me. So the Shach says, that's what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says, what's the case? If his non-participation created the whole damage, so then he's the Mazik Lagamre. So then I don't need a Mishnah to tell me 50 equals 100. He is the Mazik 100%. If his lack of participation didn't really do anything, so he gets off. What does that mean, says the Shach? He gets off. Gets off out what? Out Mazik, and therefore he can't be the subject of the Mishnah. Does he have to pay for other reasons? Of you bet, of course he has to pay for other reasons. That's the best. Pasha Sarif. He has to pay him of a basa, not him of a kama. And just in case, the Shach says, in case you're a businessman and you're wondering, ma'ech patli, why do I care whether he's paying out of a kama of a basra? It's a huge nafkamina. Nafkamina is, well, what are the other four guys who are around? So if you're coming in out of Pasha Sarif, you can't touch him. So that's what the Gemara means. Michael Ovid, why? You can't come after him. If the other guy skipped down, then you can come after him. But that's not Bava Kam, that's Bava Basra. We're learning Bava Kam, not learning Bava Basra. So the Ramon and the Shach have a fundamental machlokes. The machlokes in Gemara is das. The machlokes in what is the answer to this equation or lack thereof? We're back to square one. According to the Ramon, the two are not equated. According to the Shach, they very much are equated. Everyone good? Everyone's happy? Everyone read the Gemara? Everyone realize what the Ramah's Dik would have been? Everyone realize what the Shach Dik is? Simple. ABC is reading a Gemara of Baba Kama Dafyud to the eyes of Baba Basra, Kufayin Hei. You have to first know all of Baba Basra before you can understand how to read Baba Kama properly. Who's got a big problem with both the Heilig Ge'einig Deile Eilam Hashem Mipiyam Anuchayim, the Ramah and the Shach? What's the problem with both of them? What is the problem with both the Heilig Ramah and the Heilig Shach? If we take a tour through Eastern Europe, so we started in Krakow in the 1500s, moved to Vilna in the 1600s, now we have to come to where? Into the 1800s. Where did Ktsais live? I don't know. I'm not sure what town. I don't remember where Ktsais lived. His brother, I know where he lives. He was a Rav in Siget. I just bought, by the way, it was interesting, I just bought a Truma Sakri. I went to inspire myself for something totally different, and I happened to notice there was a tremendous query with footnotes and block print. It's a separate sefer I never saw before. It was printed like 5 years ago. I don't know why I never even saw it. I would never see it. So I was going to buy like for everyone in this year. It was like $15. I haven't bought a sefer in like 10 years. But that was, I couldn't hold. What?
And the ghost of true
sefer? You know, it's funny. I didn't even know. Okay, for another $5, I'll throw in the ghost. It had like footnotes. It has footnotes on somebody else. So I was so excited. It made me very excited. Okay. I have a Truma Sekri in back of my old cells, which is falling apart from at home. And, I have to have a Truma Sekri. Okay. New. What's Ktzos is tying against both the Heilige Ramon and the Shach? What's the problem with Ramon and the Shach, Rabbi Yisrael? Who saw the Ktzos? No one saw the Ktzos? I put the Ktzos in my own kindness. Not a textual question. Halacha question. Could someone please explain to me, just tell me details what an Ariv is again? I'm coming to you and I'm saying, do me a favor, lend the guy the money, my word is good as gold. If he doesn't show up, he runs out of money, I'm going to pay you back. So the Ariv is speaking to the person who's taking the hit, right? The person who's going to take the loss, the malva, and the Ariv is putting his best foot forward. He's willing to be mishabed himself, even though he didn't get any real hana, tangible, whatever it is, he didn't get any real hana, and that's the parsha of Arif.
The din of Arif only applies to the money that the guy's borrowing. So you think the din of Arif only applies to returning the shore?
What the fuck? You touch, right? Yeah. According to Frank Ktzos, even if you want to tell me that there's arvos in pikadon, there's arvos in shomim, in multiple shomim, who are they arevim to? To the who? To the owner of the shore. What do you call them? The mafkid. You can argue that when five guys borrowed the car together from her, so it could be that they arevim to her. Who in the world is the dintaira taking place with in the feudum and off? What happened here? The animal that they borrowed did what? We're not learning above mitzia. We're not learning shomrim right now. We're not learning neither above basa nor mitzia. What are we learning? Above kama. It's mazig yanim, a third guy. Who is taking these multiple shomrim to a din Torah? The Nizok. What in the world do I have a chiv of arvas to the Nizok? Who are you? I don't even know who you are. You're going to come after me as a shomer b'din arvas? I never met you in my life. I never opened my mouth to you. If the owner, infant Elohim, that this ox would have been hit by lightning or something, and now the owner wants to take me to a din Torah, atzichas arvas, then I can hear a zaktik tzach. Then I can discuss and negotiate whether I'm all the shach is right. But this is known as the trimmings of arvus. This is nothing to do with arvus. So how can the Ramah bring a raya that there's no arvus? How can the Shach say, no, I'll show you why there is arvus. There's no arvus, there's no arvus because the whole thing is wrong. Because if we would be talking about Lamafke, but here we're talking about Lenizak, what kind of arvus is there? That's Akasha. When you read the Gemara, when you realize, okay, when you read this Gemara, so you realize the Ramah's diuk, then you realize the Shach's diuk, then you realize, wait a second, what am I wasting my time being medoicha? Kushim, the Rami Kor Leisa, al Ktzos. What's the response to the Ktzos? The Beis Yesh Ladun, Yesh Lachkor. With the basic din, we spoke about this din before, but we never really, really formalized it. There's a basic ABCs in Mazik that a shomer is nichlas tachas abaylim. Right, if I own the shore and then I lend you the shore, or even I don't lend you, you're shomachinim, shomasocha, socha, shayel, kola abr shomer wa, nichlas wa, tachas abaylim. Right? There's no question about that. You're makabel shmira, you become chayef. Remember, we spoke a little bit about this. Not only is a shomer nichlas tachas abaylim, who else is nichlas tachas abaylim? Who else? Anyone remember? The gazlan is also nichlas tachas abaylim. Anyone remember? Didn't we talk about this, Tosis? The Tosis asked the Dafton Vav, why is the Gazlan Nichas Tachas Abaylim? He was never in Mekabel Shmira. What did Tosis say? Because it's Mutl of what? Meshomer. Just the mere fact that it's Mutl Lech Meshomer, that's Bailos for Nezik. You don't have to really own the object to be a Mazik, but as the Mishnah says, Shmira Se Alecha. So that was the quirk, that was the Chiddush, that you needed the Tosis for. But the basic din of Avishom Nichas Tachas Abaylim from Mazikin, the thing is in the end of the fourth part, the Ferisher Mishnah. It's like a no-brainer. The Shomer's Chayim. Thank you. So I'm going to ask you a really, really strange question. The fact that the Shomer has to pay for Nezek, name me the plaintiff and the defendant of that case. So you have an animal that belongs to Reuven, right? He's the, okay, make sure I get all the people there, he's the mafkid. Okay, then you have Shimon is the Shomer, and Levi is the Nizuk. Okay, Levi is the guy whose carrots are eaten up by the animal that Shimon was watching on behalf of Reuven. So, who's taking who to a din Torah? If you ask me, I'd say there's like a no-brainer, like a silly hakira. Who's taking who to a din Torah? Levi taking Shimon to a din Torah. Why? That's what the Mishnah says. Kol ha-shomrim dal shom nichzu tachas ha-bailim. Normally, if Reuven's animal would eat up Levi's carrots, Levi would take Reuven to a din Torah. So Shimon becomes a shomer. He steps into Reuven's shoes. So it's a din Torah between Levi and Shimon. Who is Bechlal not involved in this din Torah? Who? Reuven. Why is Reuven not involved? Because what's he going to get back in the end? He's going to get his animal back anyway. If his animal would have gotten killed, then there'll be another din Torah between Reuven and Shimon, okay? But Reuven's going to get his animals back. He's going to get his animals back having eaten dinner. They had a dinner for the carrots. So Reuven is very happy. He has nothing to lose in this case. Except Levi may not be too happy with it, but that's not his problem. So in terms of din Torah, Reuven's mom is sidelined here. It's Shimon and Levi are fighting out. So what do we call him? He's the plaintiff. Levi's the plaintiff. Shimon's the defendant. Okay, the court is open for session. Anyone have another way of learning pshat? A very, very razzle-dazzle, unbelievable. What does that mean? So tell me who is there. I'm lost in halacha over here. So one person who's a potential plaintiff is who? Well, give me a plaintiff. The guy who's tovea. The obvious guy who's tovea is who? Levi Tavea's carrots, right? Who is Levi attacking? Who is he really, really honestly going after? He's really going after Reuven. Now, I'm not saying that's going to actually happen in terms of dollars and cents, but Levi has a potential claim against Reuven because, after all, what does that animal say on it? Reuven's animal. That car, who does it say on the registration? It doesn't say Sobolowski. It says, I'm in a bank, I don't know, I make my lease payments too. So, at the end of the day, the Baal HaBehema is really Reuven. So, in a certain sense, Levi has a claim against Reuven. But what does the Mishnah say? But the Mishnah doesn't say that. What does the Mishnah say? Thousand cents, who's going to pay the money? Shimon. Mishnah says, Shimon is Nichas Tachas HaBailim. So, what does that mean? Because, watch the multiple Dinei Torah taking place. Levi's claiming against Reuven, and what is Reuven doing? He's turning around and claiming, Shimon, you owe me money. Now, wait a second. What kind of claim is that? What kind of din Torah does Reuven have against Shimon? What is Shimon to Reuven? What is he? He's a... So I gave him back his animal. What did he want from me? He lent me an animal. Not the younger the animal. If anything, it gained some weight. It ate a lot of cash, but I didn't gain too much weight. Okay? It ate some... Tentacle, okay. ate some eat, or else it would be carrot. I don't know, ate something, okay. Ice cream, I don't know, whatever it is. So what in the world is, what leg does Reuven have to stand to take Shimon to a din Torah? What's the answer? What other din Torah is taking place between the scenes here? Behind the scenes. Zokhtub Chaim, that there's a second, almost imaginary din Torah taking place here. Between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is saying to Shimon, you returned me an animal, all right? With a what? Yeah, with a price tag sitting on its head, with a credit card debt, you know, written all over it. Namely, this animal's great. It used to be a $100 animal that nobody had any claims against. Now it's a $100 animal. It comes with it, with a debt, with a credit card debt of $20 for carrots. Now again, this is not a short time of any shape or form. But looking in the shavius of this chefza, you are returning me a chefza that is not quite up to par with the chefza that you borrowed. This is so brisk, because between you and me, it's the same animal. Reb Chaim looked at the animal and says, no, licked in this hashovas ha-pikodon, the pikodon where the animal goes, the chiv goes. That's why I'm so know that you're going to answer this kasha. That's why I keep on saying, I feel if I say it enough times, first of all, I'll convince myself, and then if I convince myself, maybe I'll convince you. Obviously, I haven't done justice to either of those two. So Reb Chaim says that, Reb Chaim knew how to say it. Say it in Yiddish. I have to say it in Yiddish to make it sound good. So, Reb Chaim had gezocht. As licked in. The next word is, okay. Licked in the chavtza. As felt in the chavtza, the gelt in the something or other. Okay, yeah, that's the basic idea, all right? So comes Reb Chaim and says, there are almost multiple deities. Now again, this is not really making court. The Dayanim are not making money off this. This is not really happening. But in theory, Levi is coming after Reuven, and Reuven is coming after Shimon. So there is a certain conceptual, theoretical dentira here between Reuven and Shimon. So the real plaintiff attacking Shimon is Reuven, not Levi. No? What does that do for us, everybody say? What word now can re-enter into our vocabulary? Arev! Since the Din Torah has just been recoined and renamed and rephrased between Reuven and Shimon now the Pasha of Arev is back in business. So in the Ha'aras and the Ketzais, I don't remember, he himself says that he quotes the mother Echmer, who make this Ha'ara, that according to this possible, that Reb Chaim had this as one side in Hilchos Shomrim, if this phenomenon is true, that there's really an unwritten, unsaid, unspoken Din Torah going on here between Reuven and Shimon, even though no one's really actually filing a claim for Reuven to Shimon, but in Lumbus the claim has been filed, that Lumbus theoretical claim could invoke the parish of Arvus. So the Ramah said, it should have had Arvus, and it's clear from the Gemara that it doesn't, Zetman Fendor, that the Gemara's Das was, there's no Arvus, Bechei Gavna. And the Shach says, no, Zetman for the Gemara, nothing, because the Gemara never said there's no Arvus. The Gemara just said that there's no Chiyuv, the Gemara just meant, not literally no chiyuv, just no chiyuv al-tmazik. I was, maybe yeah, maybe no. So Rabbi says, four ge'ayne g'dayle g'dayle oylam. We span 400 years of Jewish history, from the Ramah, to the Shach, to the Ketzais, to Reb Chaim, all addressing one half-baked line, two words, in the Gemara, the Yudam and Aleph, that says that, well, why is the guy paying? He's off scot-free. Wow, what does that tell me? So again, everyone, when you read that line, the Gemara, right? That's how Ramah reads the Gemara, the Shach reads the Gemara, the Ketzai reads the Gemara, the Ruchem reads the Gemara. That's, you have to learn how to read a Gemara. If there's a lot in that one line in the Gemara.
If it's short time,
Mr. Alter, born to Shortam. You believe this story by Shortam. You can't buy into it by Shortam. So you got to really use your imagination. Kind of into the world of risk. Yeah.
I can't say that Reuven is actually collecting from Shimon.
Reuven's mamish collecting from Shimon? Because the Mishnah doesn't say that.
Can we see earlier the other explanation?
The Mishnah doesn't say that. You want to know that? Machlokes is Rashi and the Rambam. That means, means that would be more, it's that same piece of Chaim. I mean, that would make more sense if you hold that in theory he can collect from him. Right. Okay, maybe. I think it's in the same piece. That's where Chaim has that discussion. Okay, basically getting back to that story. So the Gemara is still trying to solve the dilemma of we want more cases. The Bor case got us too confused yesterday. The Shor case is not working. So the Gemara tries another one. The Gemara says, Maskevav Sheshes, in the bottom of Yudam and Aleph, Vika Marbe Bechavila. Ooh, the famous case of Marbe Bechavila. What's the case of Marbe Bechavila? What's the Chavila? What is the Chavila? A bundle, a package. I'm not sure what it is, right? So Rashi learns it's a bundle. It's a bundle of what? So you had to really, really make the extra masa in this one. You have to turn the page because the Rashi's a printer on the wrong side. In case you got it. Kind of hard to do that. No? What does Rashi learn? Eish. Talk about Eish. So one guy set a fire. The fire is raging. And what do? I add more to the fire. Throw another bundle of stuff into the fire. Get that fire to really, really go even further. And now you want to know, am I throwing something else into that fire? Is that going to be Heshayt and Mitzvah Nizko, Kachayvah, Kachol Nizko? That's the case. So let's read the Gemara according to Rashi. Maslav Sheshes. The Gemara of Chavil. Hey, Chidam, the Gemara challenges. What's the case? Yudam Abed. Eid the Balab Eilo Azla. If without my extra fuel to the fire would have just fizzled out, you know, just fizzled out by itself. So then what's the din? What's the word? Shita, I'm the complete mazik. If I light a fire in my backyard, it's not going anywhere. It's going to just fizzle out on its own. And you strengthen the fire, and that's what caused it to go into the next guy's field and burn down his crops. So you are the complete malignization. I'm nothing. I was having a barbecue. I wasn't doing anything. So that's not the Mishnah. El debalabiu azla. But rather, the fire was so raging, it would have burnt down the other guy's field no matter what. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Michael Ovid, what did I do, Rashi learned? Michael Ovid. Rashi learned totally about the first one, a little differently. Michael Ovid, I didn't do anything. So the Gemara rejects the case. Says, you're right, there's no case. And the Gemara moves on to the next case. So if you open up a Rambam on this Gemara, and the Rambam quotes this Gemara, you start to scratch your head. Why? Because you're looking for the Marbech Avilos, you're expecting a fire. What do you find instead? You find an animal, and you don't find anything about bundles of grain. You find packages of grain, maybe bundles of grain that are being placed on top of an animal, and you get an entirely different picture that's being depicted by the Rambam. What is it? There's no fire, there's no raging fire and blazes. What is there? There's an animal that's walking or trying to walk, and it belongs to Reuven. And now a bunch of guys decide, they're gonna put their package on Reuven's animal, and in doing so, they end up crushing the animal. The animal breaks its leg. They cause the hezek to the animal by putting too much weight onto the animal. That's Marbe Chavila according to Rambam. Okay. Rambam entitled to his pshat in the Gemara. Marbe Chavila, okay. Rambam had his tradition. That's what Marbe Chavila meant. So you start to read the Gemara according to Rambam. Okay, let's read the Gemara now. Masav Sheish, Veika Marbe Chavila, Hechidam, what's the case? Ida Balav Ilo Azla, if without his package, the animal wouldn't have done what? Oslo here can't mean raging fires. What does it mean? Must have been walking. So without his package, love you, it still wouldn't have walked. So what's the din? It means basically I put on an extra couple of pounds, the animal was going to break its leg anyway. So I didn't do anything. So what's the problem with the next line in the Gemara? Either love you, la Oslo, what's the next word? Pshita? Pshita that you're chayav? Pshita that you're what? Butter. So there's something wrong with that line. That line doesn't make any sense. According to Rashi's pshat, the belav ilo ozla means the fire wouldn't have raged, so I'm the one who responsible for the entire fire, then pshita b'chayav. According to the Rambam, belav ilo ozla means that the animal couldn't walk anyway, so the animal's break its leg anyway. Pshita dem chayav, that's not true. So what's the answer according to the Rambam? What? So the Magen Mishnah said there was a different girsa. The Rambam had the girsa probably eid the belav iu azla. He didn't have the word lo. That means the animal would have been able to walk without my package. So my place in the package was ultimately what was responsible for breaking the animal's legs. Pshitam chayef to bay, because I am the complete and total mazik. That's not the Mishnah. The Mishnah, you need a 50% mazik. This is a full mazik. Ella, so now let's go back to the Gemara according to the Rambam. El de belav ihu, without him, what word do you have to add on? Lo azla. Without what you did, it wouldn't have worked anyway. So then the Gemara talk a good kasha. What? So what did you do? Michael Ovid didn't do anything. The animals would have broke the plug anyway. I didn't. Lamal of the way. Is there any halachic machlekas in Rashi and Rambam? Probably not. They're just totally different pshat than what the case of Marbe Chavila was. And each pshat led to a radically different gear. So either the low is the beginning of the Gemara or the end of the Gemara. But in terms of halacha, it's pretty much all the same. And the bottom line is, if you were the one who was totally responsible, either through your fire or through your package and your animals, then you pay entirely, and you're not a machshir b'mixus nizkai. And if vice versa, that it would have happened anyway, either the fire would have raged without you, or the animal would have broken its leg without you. See, look, my covenant, you did nothing. So the halacha, there's not that much of a difference. The girsa, perish, pshat, and the Gemara is also important to learn. But then the Rambam throws in something that curveball to the sugya that throws us off. After the Rambam presents his case about the animal, the Rambam concedes that we're going to have difficulty implementing this halacha. You know why? What's going to be just a logistical problem? We're going to have a big problem in court. What's going to be the problem? Right now, four guys put packages on, now the fifth guy puts his package on, and now we find the animal's got a broken leg. What's going to be really difficult for the Beis Din to determine? Could the animal have stood under the weight of the four packages or not? So you're going to bring in your veterinary, experts, you're bringing your orthopedic, veterinary surgeons, and you're going to bring people who are going to begin to assess the weight and the bulk and the man. You have a whole slew of experts coming and testifying, right? That's going to happen in court. At the end, what's going to happen? What's going to be the result? What's going to be the final words of Hazen on it? We have absolutely no idea. We don't know what to do. The suffix. So the Rambam concedes that may very well happen, and now let's decide what's the halacha. What does the Rambam say? What does the Rambam say? So what do we do? Kul on what? Kul misham b'shavet. So you split it, everybody pays their share and call it a day. What? Everybody pays their share and they call it a day. What's the problem? Why don't we treat this like a regular what? Like a regular suffix mamon. So what would have happened? Let's say in the law we would have known for a fact that it's the fifth guy, he was the final straw that literally, no pun intended, broke the shore's back, right? So let's say we would have known that for a fact. So he would have paid what? 100%. And the other guys would have gone off scot-free. And what would have been vice versa? What if his package had absolutely nothing? What would have happened? Then the other guys would have had to pay, and he would have paid zero. So if I was sitting on this beis din and I don't know what to do, so what in the world gives me the right to say you split it? What should the last guy say to me? If the last guy's smart, a little bit above Metziah, what should he say to me? He said, "You have no idea, Rabbi Beis Din, Dayan Beis Din, you have no idea whether I'm class to pay or not, because you yourself admit, you three Dayanim, Shimon Arba Yisrael, Dayan Mumchem, you have no idea whether my load broke this animal's back." So what you are saying, Rabbi Isai, is that I'm a Safi Chayav Maman. Last I checked, Hamotz Bechlev Araya. And if I'm not paying a penny. Now, let's go back to the other guys. What do the other guys respond? Tayyanim Mumchim, Mechilus Kvayt Terachem. There is a very good chance, 50-50 chance, if I'm not mistaken, that the other guy was the one who was totally, completely responsible for the breaking of this animal's neck. And if that was in fact, those were in fact the facts, then what's going to happen to us? We go off where? We are scot-free. Now, we concede the fact that you have absolutely no idea whether that statement is true or not. Neither do we, neither does anybody, any human being, Shorveli or Navi perhaps, who could testify to that. But if I'm not mistaken, we also learned in Yeshiva one day that Hamotzim Chavel V'raya, and therefore we are not going to pay either. And if I was sitting in that Beis Din, I would say to the fifth guy, say, "You're right." And what would I say to the first four guys? "You're also right." And who's going to take the loss on this one? The owner of the animal. So the other animal is livid. He's ready to kill both all the guys. But in terms of pure dini mamonos, the other guys get off. For one of them, it's a suffix mamonos for Araya. For the other guy, it's a suffix mamonos for Araya. So what is the engine that's fueling the Rambam suck? The Rambam suck, it sounds like it's just like some arbitrary number. Oh yeah, well, we'll split it, make everybody happy, he's be a little happy, he'll be, everyone will be a little happy and call it a day. Suffolk Mammon, Meitzach Leverai, what happened to the Klal Gol, if I remember correctly, the word says that Klal Gol Bedin, of Kamadav Mem Vav, that Klal Gol Bedin. Who gave the Rambam the right to introduce a new Psach in the middle of nowhere? So that last Rambam, we didn't even need them. The Rambam might not even talk about this. The Rambam didn't even have to tell us this. The Rambam just could have quoted his case about the broken ox's back and just gave him Chavilus and moved on to something else. But the Rambam was an Isha Emes. He wanted to tell you, what would I do? Last time this came around to the base of the Cairo, says the Rambam, we paskin, everyone has to pay their share. Comes the Ketzais and says, fuck yeah, nobody should have to pay their share. Because everybody should hide behind. It's a Suffolk moment.
Didn't we say the Rambam by Bor was the exact opposite, where the Reino Yishai wanted to say that we never know exactly what caused the final damage?
No, but at the end of the day, the Rambam is conceding that we don't know. At the end of the day, we don't really know. The Rambam admits it's a suffix. It doesn't matter, it's a suffix. We don't know. The Rambam concedes we don't know.
He seems to shy away from saying the Kulon Chayavim by Bor.
No.
We don't know who exactly. We don't know if the nine fucking or the eight or nine.
Okay, but over here, the bottom line is that if we would know for a fact one way, then one guy would walk away potter. If we know for the fact the other guy would walk away potter. So how can you turn around and be mechayev both?
wouldn't Rabbeinu Yishaya come?
Rabbeinu Yishaya, I thought everyone forgot about Rabbeinu Yishaya.
It's definitely a different case, but can the first four guys, they prove to me that it's not for the fifth guy, I would have anything to do with.
But the Ram doesn't say it. The Ram says they have to all pay also. The Ram says they split it.
The Rabbeinu Yishaya could say that the first four guys.
I don't know. The Ram says that they split. How can you tell both of them to pay? Even Rabbeinu Yishaya is not going to help you. How can you tell both of them to pay? What, is that true in the Imamunas? That's such a cloud in the Imamunas. Right? Most of
them have no idea, really, and the person will say there might not have even been a mazik here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so hopefully Mr. Tomorrow will try to put the final touch on this. Okay, get started the next thing tomorrow, guys.